Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's Daily Bread with First His Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change your life. And we're so glad that you're joining us today on Tuesday, April the 4th, 2023. And it's truly our pleasure. My name is Daryl Weatherly, and I'm here with my wife, Gracie.
Hi, everybody.
It's our pleasure and our honor to be able to spend some time with you and to talk about the Word. And to talk about the principles and the truth that's in the Word that will help you in your daily lives and your walk with the Lord, and to strengthen your walk with the Lord. But let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you that you're here with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to lead us and to guide us. Father, we just purpose to speak in a way and to relate the information that we have in a way that the listeners will grab onto it, and that it'll penetrate into their hearts, and that it'll become a part of their relationship with you. We thank you for it, and we just thank you for being here with us, and we thank you for every listener, that their hearts and their minds and their ears are ready to receive in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to go ahead and continue with the topic that we've been talking about, which is holding fast.
That's right.
Which is a very important topic, because we know that circumstances change, but our walk and our faith with the Lord should not change. It should be rock solid, no matter what's going on around us or with whoever and what they're saying, or it doesn't matter. Our relationship and our faith and our knowledge of what the Lord has done with us and what he reveals to us in his Word, that's solid. That's on solid ground, and that does not change. So therefore, our response to no matter what should be the same.
Amen. That's good. That's good stuff. It's something that, you know, you're faith walkers. We're faith walkers. You wouldn't be here if you weren't a faith walker, because what we learn about being faith walkers is that we walk by faith and not by sight. So we are not to be ruled by circumstances. We're not to be ruled or moved by what we see. And so that's challenging, to say the least. But when we purpose to mature and develop and to become skillful in these areas that God is telling us to be skillful in, we know it's for our good. We know it's needed and necessary. And so as faith walkers, this is a big component of walking by faith, and that is hold fast, or holding fast. Same thing. We got to grab a hold of the Word and not let go.
Not sway in the wind, like, you know, or
what James says, be a double-minded man.
Right, right. Or to just to go with whatever, anybody, what they're saying or what's happening that day. No. If you have a solid foundation, that is your strength.
He is
our strength.
He is.
He is.
And I'm telling you, in this culture, in these days right now, we need to know that, you know, I know people are saying it left and right, and I'm going to echo it. Jesus is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is look around and see that up is down and down is up and right is wrong and wrong is right, and how crazy and how foolish some things are getting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, because it's an indication of how lost that some people are. We are not to be moved by our culture. We are not to be moved by our voting party. We are not to be moved by anything aside from the Word of God. And so you kind of have to make a decision on your own. Nobody can make it for you. Are you committed to being the kind of Christian that looks to the Word for your foundation? That even if it's something you don't agree with, initially, or you don't understand initially, it's okay for you to say, Lord, I'm not really sure I'm understanding this section of scripture. I don't really understand this part, but it's your Word and I'm believing it. And so help me, Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit will help you. And just pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. You know, that I'm jumping ahead, because these are all skills that are important, but just know and make a decision. When we are faith walkers, there should be one thing that rules in our lives above everything else. And I'm not saying other things don't matter. We should be responsible citizens who vote. We should be, you know, loyal to our companies that we work for, or, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that above everything else, we should have the kingdom of God, the word of God, be first priority.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we've been talking about all year. If you're a member of First His Kingdom Family Church, that's basically our whole scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. In Matthew 6:33.
Yeah. And, you know, and really what we're seeing, you know, all the crazy stuff we're seeing, it's an identity crisis.
Yes.
People, they really don't know who they are. So they're just going with any doctrine on the wind or what anyone's saying. They're going with it. So where are you going to find your identity? It's not out there. No, it's in the Word.
We need to.
That's how you find out who you are.
And you know what? You just reminded me. We did not do our confession.
Oh, we sure didn't.
All right. So grab your Bible, everybody. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I have what it says I have.
And I have what it says I have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And that's a whole lot. How many promises are there? Aren't there like 22,000 promises
in the Bible? Thousands of promises. Amen. So, you know, it is an identity. And so again, like with everything else, you know, I'm very proud to be an American with Mexican heritage. I'm very proud of that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that, but nothing else should be first and foremost aside from being a child of God.
Amen.
But nobody, like, we all get to make that decision ourselves. Mm-hmm. Nobody forces you to make it. God doesn't force us to make it. He gives us free will. But when you make that decision, hopefully it is a once in a lifetime decision. And when you make that decision, then the Word of God is the highest priority in your life. And it is your foundation. And it is where you look for your identity. Amen?
Amen. So I guess today what we're going to look at is a couple of examples where people in the Bible, the characters in the Bible, either chose to hold fast to what the Lord says and to what his principles and his truths, or to not and go the other direction. We're going to look at one example of one way and one of the other.
So I'd like us to just remind everybody about our foundation scriptures, because we don't ever want to just bring you the opinions of Daryl and Grace.
Right.
We want to go, what does the Word say? So God has something to say about holding fast. So we're going to show you three scriptures where God has something to say. Let's start in Hebrews 10:23.
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Oh man, that's so good. That's right. God is not a liar, so he does not lie. And that's why we need to hold on, because he who promised is faithful. Let's go to the next one. Hebrews 4:14.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession.
There it is again. And he's telling us, hold fast, hold fast.
He's telling us what to have confidence in.
That's exactly right. And that's why we can hold fast.
Yeah.
Because it's not confidence in my own abilities just by myself, or in the flavor of the month abilities or whatever. No, this is in Jesus, the great high priest. And in him, he who promised is faithful. God doesn't lie. His word is true. So let's go to one last one, Revelation 2:25.
And to me, this might be the most powerful one, because it comes in conjunction with Jesus telling us, hey, I'm coming back. But here it is. But hold fast what you have till I come.
There it is. So short and sweet.
He's saying, hey, I'm coming. And so this hold
is
fast.
This is in red. If you're in Revelation and you look at it, this is red. This is meaning that Jesus is the one saying this. Hold fast until I come. And hold fast. What are we holding fast to? We're holding fast to the Word of God. This is what we need to become very skillful in. It needs to be not, you know, one of the things I like, if you can envision, I've heard people in karate or jujitsu, our daughter is she like a green belt?
Yeah.
In jujitsu. Yes. So I think they start off, I guess, with white. I don't know. And then it goes to yellow, or maybe green is the second one.
I think she's on the second one.
Yeah. And so I think it's white belt and then green, yellow. They go all the way up until they get to black belt. And black belt is like the highest master in that, for that, you know, whether it's karate or jujitsu. What I'm saying is, imagine us. So when we're baby Christians, everything is new. We're learning, and hopefully we're seeking God, and we're studying the word, and we're learning and soaking up. But it's putting things into practice that get us, it gains us to become, how am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we become more skillful in that area when we start to put it to use, mm-hmm. put the word to use.
Right.
Then we're a doer of the word. And do you know that when we hold fast, that's part of doing the word.
That's doing the word.
Because look, we've just shared three scriptures that is God telling us, hold fast. So when you're holding fast, you're a doer of the word.
And I guess really, if you don't do those, that part of the word, you really can't do any of the others. It's so, like the key.
It is the key. Because when you think about it, so the spirit of faith puts us in a flow. And I like this when you think of a flow, because a flow is like a current, a rushing water, a current, a flow. And we want to be in God's flow. We want to always be in the flow of God. And so when we're holding fast, we are keeping the door from God's power to our life open.
Mm-hmm.
When we are not holding fast, when we are wavering, when we're doubting and we're in fear or worry, that closes the door. Now, it's not God that's doing it. We're doing it.
Right.
We are closing the door to his flow of power operating in our lives. And so the holding fast part is our part. We're not the ones who move the mountains. He's the mountain mover. But we believe. If we speak to that mountain.
And we speak to the mountain.
And we speak to it. We don't, remember, we got to have our mouth needs mm-hmm. to be a part of this. That's mm-hmm. also being a doer of the word is by our confession. So let's talk about an example of somebody in the Old Testament who was holding fast. And this is one example, and it was probably not the first example, because this wouldn't be the time to be cutting your teeth on holding fast. I heard something along these lines and I thought, okay, that's a good illustration. Imagine someone who has never been in the ocean and they are just thrown in the middle of the ocean and they don't even know how to swim. You're drowning at this point. You're scrambling, you're dog paddling, you're screaming, you're kicking your legs and your arms. This is not the time to get a lesson on how to start swimming 101. I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but right now you're in the middle of a crisis moment. This is not the time to be getting a lesson on how to swim. What I'm saying is that we want to become skillful in this area. So regardless of what situations may come our way or circumstances, we're not moved.
No.
Because
we're already ready.
We're already ready. Mm-hmm. We have that. It impacted me so much when we used to take our kids to camp and Brother Tommy would say to the kids, you put the word of God into your spirit, man. Put it in every day. Put it in when you don't need it. So when you do need it, it's already there.
It's already there, right.
And I'm not saying that you can't. Too many times, though, we wait until we're in a crisis and now we're trying to learn, okay, wait, how do you learn how to swim again? And again, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just much harder in that moment of crisis because you're coming at it from a point of desperation instead of by faith. And everything we do should be by faith, not in fear and not in desperation, but by faith. So this is an example, and I guess you're going to share, Daniel?
Yeah, Daniel. And so Daniel, you know, he had risen up through the ranks, was high up in the ranks for Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar of Persia, and then Belshazzar, and then finally of his son Darius. So let's start in 6:1 of Daniel. it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, and those are kind of like governors, satraps, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one. So that's pretty, he was high up.
Yeah.
That the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satrap because he had an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for the 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." So if anyone were to petition or to go to any other god other than the king, the punishment was to be put in a den of lions. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God.
Okay, wait a second. So, let's just talk about that. Windows open three times.
Yeah.
He didn't just do it once with his door shut. He threw the windows open, and then he repeated that three times.
And so not only did he know what the decree was, he knew what the punishment was.
Yes, he did.
And if you had read before that, earlier in Daniel, we knew that he prayed. That was his custom. That was his habit, to pray three times a day in that manner. So when this decree came down, he did not change anything.
He was holding fast.
Yeah, that's holding fast. I mean, that's...
And holding fast knowing what the punishment was.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. And more than likely, that wasn't the first time he ever held fast.
Right.
He was skilled in that area. He had already developed that skill so that when he was in the face of this decree, he held fast.
Yes. And so it says then in 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. So we're going to skip down to verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel and said, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Because the king liked Daniel.
Yes, he did.
He didn't want to do that. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And then we're going to skip down to verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions of mouths of the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you."
Amen. That's good. He went, he knew He knew the punishment, but he went, opened his windows because he had nothing to hide. And he prayed three times and then he suffered the consequence. Of course, that's man's laws. And if you read this whole account in Daniel, it's very similar to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were actually in favor, in the king's favor, because they were good at what they did. They were noble and upright and righteous. They were different than other people, but they were and then the other courtiers or whatever were jealous. So they tricked the king into declaring this thing, knowing that Daniel, this was his custom, mm-hmm. and that he would continue with it and then be thrown in the lion's den. What they didn't know is the God that Daniel served, because our God is bigger than any circumstance. That's what we need to grab a hold of. All of these stories are amazing, and they're meant to encourage us and to show us examples over and over again of people that were holding fast, doing the same thing we're talking about. Faith doesn't deny the circumstances. Faith just knows that God's word trumps any circumstances. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And that's what we hold fast to. This is also something in Revelation 2:25 where Jesus says, hold fast until I come. We're holding fast to the word, but we're also holding fast even after we have received the manifestation of what we've prayed for or been holding on. We hold on to that. You and I are holding on to our healing. Mm-hmm. And we thank God every day for our healing. We're holding on to that. What Jesus is telling us, hold on to that. Hold fast until I come.
Well, that's what faith is. It's not wavering. It's that you have such a strong conviction in the promises of God that nothing is going to sway you. Nothing is going to make you waver.
That's right. And I wish we had ended on Daniel, because we should have started with the example I was going to do. But anyway, I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it's important to share an example in the Old Testament, and it's a huge one, of when they didn't hold fast. And it's the Israelites. Mm-hmm. They were told and given a prophecy, one after the other, that they were going to be delivered into the promised land, that God had given them the promised land. They had been told this over and over. They knew. They left Egypt. Let's just talk about the leaving of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, over and over they saw, even before they left Egypt, they were seeing all of the plagues mm-hmm. come and not affect them. Passover, the spirit of death came to the firstborn, except for those that had the blood of the lamb over their doorposts. Over and over, God had showed his faithfulness to them. And over, they knew the promised land. They go out and spend 40 years in a desert. That was what I think I've heard people say anywhere, like it was a two-week journey. Like that. 40 years. This is an example of not holding fast. This is an example of wavering, because they complained pretty much on and off during the whole time.
Yeah, and that was, God was telling them exactly what to do.
Yes.
He's saying, here's exactly what you do.
Right.
And they could not hold fast. Mm-hmm. They couldn't stay the course.
Right. And they murmured and they complained. And so what happened is they ended up having to have a whole generation pass away mm-hmm. so that the younger generation could enter in to the promised land. But even the 12 spies, did God say, I've given you the promised land, but I wasn't aware there were giants. No, he knew. God knew. But here's the deal. God wants us to develop skills. He wants us to develop this skill, because in the face of giants in the land, in the promised land, we should hold fast to what God's word says, to what his promises say. In spite of those things, we should see God's word triumphing. And two of them came back out of the 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Mm-hmm. Hey, we can take them. And Caleb said, let's go now. We can take them. Let's go now. And the other 10, oh my goodness, they're giants in the land. They're huge. They were looking with their eyes after all that time in the desert, after all seeing God's hand on them, protecting them and keeping them, they still doubted that when they were on the verge of getting to the promised land, it was not going to work. As if God would have brought them that far and then they not get in. But see, circumstances were ruling them. They were moved by circumstances. We can learn from this example. It is so important. I think it's as important to learn when someone doesn't do this, what happens, as what it looks like when they hold fast.
Right.
And the Israelites are one of the best examples of what happens and what it looks like when you do not hold fast. So whatever you're praying for, not holding fast is going to cause something that you could have seen manifest in a couple of weeks take 40 years to manifest.
Yeah, and these two examples, Daniel and then the Israelites, the account of what happened to them, they're not in the Bible just to be, oh, interesting stories to read, you know, for entertainment, like, oh, that's a neat story. No, they were written down for you.
That's right.
For each one of you that are listening.
For all of us. Yeah, all of us.
Yeah.
Because God knew we needed this. And we know that circumstances are going to come. Jesus told us, in this world, you will have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But be of good cheer.
I have overcome the world.
Them all. That's right. That's exactly right. So that's what we need to hold fast to. And developing and cultivating this skill doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just become a black belt. You have to learn. You have to get to the next level. So how do you hold fast? Well, maybe you're holding fast for, you know, some little thing. We have things come at us left and right every day. Maybe a flat tire, maybe something at your job you're praying for, whatever. It, you know, we have the opportunity every day to develop the skills in little things. It's not just about big things. It's about little things so that by the time you do have a big thing or a crisis moment or a circumstance slap you in the face, you're ready for it because you've developed that skill. So I want to encourage you all to just hold fast, as we're talking about, on a daily basis and purpose to develop this skill, to become very skillful in this area, because we can see time after time all of these examples where God is telling us, hold fast, don't let go. Amen.
Amen. You know, and the Holy Spirit is just telling me right now, the closer you are to me, the easier it is to hold fast.
Amen.
And I believe what he means by the closer you are, just involving him in each part of your day and just talking to him. The closer you are to him, the easier it is going to be to hold fast.
That's good. That's good, Daryl.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen.
God is so good. Well, we've run out of time.
Wow,
we did. But I don't want to leave without letting you all know we are in a new month. April is going to be an amazing month. And this is the Holy Week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, amen. Good Friday. It's coming up, Easter. But I want to remind you all about the FHK scripture for April. It's out of Nahum 1:7. And it says, "The Lord is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him."
Trust him.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, amen.
Trust him. I have it on my tablet and on my phone. Trust God no matter what the circumstances.
That's a good one to write down and put on your refrigerator so you can see it all the time.
Amen. That's good stuff.
Well, we want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. And tomorrow night, Pastor Rose will be back with us to continue with our daily bread. Thank you again for being with us. And we just pray that this word and these truths stay with you. If you have to listen to this message again, do it. But let this just be a part of your life. Amen. Good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Good night, everyone.